So over the last weeks, we have been looking at the book of Proverbs and a lot of different things in the book of Proverbs. If you track back to the beginning of the series, we talked about the whole idea that your direction determines your destination. We talked about the need for changes in our direction, corrections in our direction from time to time. We talked about the fact that we shouldn't really trust our heart, but we should trust our hearts to God. And we talked that there's sometimes need that we need to seek counsel from other wise people that God brings into our lives and allows us to do life with. And then last week we talked about this idea of what grabs our attention, what we choose to give our attention to, will impact the direction that we're going in. So this morning we're going to wrap it up, this series, and we're really going to be talking about what do you do when you find yourself reaching out in a direction, heading in a destination that becomes unattainable, that you will never arrive at. Because there are some of those destinations in our lives that we will just, as much as our heart wants us to be there, as much as we desire for this to take place, it's unattainable to myself or to you. My family, three in our family, are big basketball fans. So March Madness has started this week, and we've already committed too much time to watching basketball in the last 4 days. If you're brackets people, we are done in our house. Our brackets were destroyed like night one, but we've enjoyed watching this basketball. As much as I enjoy watching basketball, and as much as I enjoyed playing basketball, as much as I might have this heart's passion to play in the NCAA tournament of March Madness someday, even if I could quit my job and spend the next 3 or 4 years just training 100% of the time, did you know there's no age restriction for playing in the NCAA Division I? So if I give all my energy and all my time to it, I still can't play in March Madness. Because though there's no age restriction, you can play 5 years, but you have to start that within 1 year of graduating high school. So I can put all my effort, all my energy into wanting to be a basketball player, and I can't do that. It's unattainable for me. I had a friend back in high school that their goal, their desire, their wish, their hope in life was to be in law enforcement. And that's what the direction that they were planning on and leading towards. And then there was a physical dynamic that came up in their life that eliminated that from being a possibility for them. It was no longer attainable. Nothing that they could do in their life would change the fact that they cannot be in law enforcement. It became unattainable for them. What happens when you have a dream? Even a dream that maybe you think that God laid on your heart. Because sometimes, I'm going to suggest, sometimes I misread God's leadings. Or sometimes I allow my humanness to maybe overshadow the direction God's leading. So what happens when I have a dream that is impossible for us to get to? That's what we're focusing on as we close this series about getting to our destinations. So I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, where that is our primary focus verse for today. Verse 12 of Proverbs 13, page 457. Page 457, if you're using one of the church Bibles. Proverbs 13, verse 12, very simply says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." We're going to take this verse and we're going to divide it into two at the obvious intersection there. So hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's part one. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. We'll get to that a little bit further as we study this morning. So we're going to begin by looking at what happens when we have these plans or these dreams that no matter how hard we try, we'll never get to them. What do you do when you have a desire to reach a destination and every road seems to be blocked along the way, or it's closed, or the road's destroyed? You just can't get there. The first thing I think that we have to face is you get heartsick, right? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you feel heartsick, you have a choice to make. When you feel like your heart's been torn apart, like there's this huge disappointment, right? We have a choice to make in that. And I've heard this saying, I don't even know who gets the credit for this quote, but it's simply, we can choose at that point to either get bitter or to get better. Right? We can choose at that point to get bitter about our situation. I can choose to get bitter because I didn't know about the one-year rule to play NCAA. Man. I'm just joking about that, by the way. Or we can choose to get better. Scripture has several examples of people who had, really, they had gone through times of this heart sickness over a blocked road or a dream that they just couldn't get to. As a 17-year-old, Joseph had all the dreams in the world. He had literally dreamt that one day he would rule over his father and his brothers. And then he found himself not doing that, right? He found himself in slavery. And the dream kind of died in that moment. I'm guessing there's a little bit of heart sickness in that moment. His heart had to be even beyond sick in that moment. And I'm aware that that's not the end of the story, and we'll talk about the end of the story when we get to the end of the message. Daniel, at about the same age, found himself chained to other Israelites and dragged hundreds of miles into exile in a foreign country. His heart must have been sick. King David got word one day that his newborn son was probably going to die. How would he deal with that? The Apostle Paul found himself with some sort of a physical ailment or disease. He called it a thorn in his flesh. And we don't know exactly what that thorn in his flesh was, but it was a handicap that likely severely limited him. Some people believe that he had poor eyesight, and I can just imagine as a person that does some reading and research and communication and that kind of stuff, that would be a really tough one to work through if that's what it was. Some believe it was physical stuff like knees, and you can only imagine the reality of those days. There wasn't trains, planes, and automobiles to get around. So we don't know what Paul had, but he despaired over it. His heart was sick over this thorn in his flesh. And then there's Jesus. Scripture says that on the night before he was crucified, he went to the garden and prayed about the kind of death that he was facing. Remember the prayer that he said? He prayed, "Father, if there's any way we can do this without me having to die on the cross, please take this fate away from me." He was so anguished about it, he actually sweated drops of blood. So what do you do when you're heart sick? Will you choose to be bitter, or will you choose to get better? We need to know how to avoid the bitterness and work towards the betterness in life. And it's a choice. Paul chose betterness. If you want to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, if you're using a church Bible, you'll find it on page 822. Starting at verse 7 and just reading verse 7 and 8 for now, we'll continue from there, so don't leave that spot. But we're just going to read the first two verses for now. He says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." So Paul had some amazing things happen to him in his life, right? He had all these highs, a lot of highs. But then he has this really low, this thorn in the flesh that we don't really know what it is. He's got a physical ailment, most likely, that he is going to have to live with for the rest of his life, as far as he knows. It's probably painful. I'm going to guess that it certainly impeded or made it hard for him to reach his dreams. And look what he did. The first thing he did was Paul prayed fervently. Three times, he says. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Paul prayed three times that God would take this from him. God says no. And then gives him clarity on why this ailment was being allowed to take place in his life as we continue on. Verse 9, we hear God's voice, right? So we pray, but then we also need to listen when we pray. We need to listen for God's voice. And in verse 9, we see that. We see, "But God said to me," God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." So in the midst of prayer, it's possible to hear God's voice when we are allowing ourselves to be in tune with, when we're looking for God's response. That doesn't bring a change, and you sense God saying, "This is going to stay with you," then we need to work at finding the good in the bad situation. And that can be hard. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I'll just read it to us this morning. It says this: "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." Paul found a way to believe that God's grace was sufficient for him, that God's power would be even better displayed in his darkness, in his weaknesses, in his physical limitations that he had. God could still use him, and perhaps even use him better or in different ways. We also see that we can accept reality and find the good that's in the reality. This is a potential section of the path towards betterness. Back in 2 Corinthians, Paul continues in verse 9 and 10. He says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul discovered that he can use his hardships for God's glory. Whatever it was that Paul had, he determined to use it for the glory of God, for the advancement of the kingdom of God, to impact other people's lives. So now if we go back to our central passage that we're looking at in Proverbs chapter 13, it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope is deferred when we realize that our dreams probably aren't going to come true, for whatever the reason is. You probably aren't going to get married or get married again, or at least not for a really, really long time. That's hope deferred. We probably aren't going to be able to keep our home or keep our job or get the promotion that we've always wanted and we've really worked hard for. Or have the kind of health that we assume would be ours. Maybe you've discovered you may not be able to achieve your academic goals in life, or at least in the way that you envisioned achieving them. These are just a few examples of what hope deferred might look like in our hearts and in our lives, and it can be heartbreaking to us. It can make our hearts sick. This is the reality of life on earth. Earth is earth. It is not heaven. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. This isn't earth-shattering to us as believers. It shouldn't be. I don't know a single person who has had all their dreams fulfilled in life. Every single dream they ever had or desire they ever had, I don't know a person. I suspect it wouldn't probably even be healthy for us to be in that reality where every one of our dreams comes true. There's something about God saying no that softens us. Something that enables us to admit we are not all that. There's something that's humbling in a positive way about not having all of our dreams fulfilled. God often uses those times to build our character beyond where we are right now. God has the advantage of seeing the end from the beginning. We don't get to see the end as far out as God does. And even every possible end from every decision that you or I make, God can see those. I think God loves us so much that he will shut doors that will lead to destruction. He will put the roadblocks in front of us. What you call a hope deferred might just need to be relabeled a little bit in our thinking. Maybe instead of it hope deferred, it's God said no to protect you, or God had something even better in store for your future that you can't even envision because you're not ready there. You're not there yet. You're not ready yet to receive that dream. But if you stay on the path that he has for you, look out, because that dream may come true in your life and it will be big, and God will use it for his kingdom if you allow him to. I just want this verse to soak in. I read it to you earlier. I just want you to focus for these next 3 seconds as I read it again. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So let's apply that to Joseph. From being betrayed by his brother and thrown into a deep pit to die, to being sold into slavery, and then being falsely accused of rape and being thrown into a prison, Joseph's heart, I'm going to say, was sick. Mine would be sick. His hope was deferred and seemingly probably dead in those moments. I'm going to guess he couldn't see even a little tiny light at the end of the tunnel as he was going through all of that. And then everything changed in one day. He was summoned before Pharaoh, and his dreams began to be fulfilled in ways that he could never have even imagined. And one day, he became a leader in Egypt and saved all of Egypt and his family from starvation. And then one day his dreams fulfilled. He saw his brother bow down before him and his father fall to his knees in gratitude to God that his treasured son was really alive and doing so well. See, most often God leaves us with a thorn in our flesh, an obstacle or two that we have to learn to trust him with. It's almost a guarantee that some of us sitting in here this morning, some of us watching from home this morning, have a thorn of some sort in our flesh. Something that is what we feel like is stopping us from getting to where we want to be. And some of them might be new thorns. Some of them might be thorns that have been around for years and years and years. We need to learn to trust him with them. Sometimes God takes our human dreams and turns them into God-sized dreams and achievements. But that only happens when we trust him with those thorns and we continue to move forward in life and we look for the good, and instead of getting bitter, we try to get better through the situations. I believe that every dead and dying dream is in the hand of God today. If there's a dream in your life that just seems dead today, I believe it's in the hand of God. If there's a thorn in your flesh this morning, it's in the hand of God. Even if it seems out of control, even if there seems to be no reason for it from your perspective, it's in the hand of God. I don't stand up here this morning saying this without my own thorns in my flesh. I've shared those with you before in regards to my struggle with depression, and it's been years of a journey, but I believe it's in the hands of my God still. So he may not restore the dream, but never believe that he can't or that he won't, if it's truly good for us. Sometimes God, I think, buries our dreams because they won't do good for us at the end of the day. Sometimes he asks us to bury our dreams so that he can resurrect them to be something better, kind of what Stacy was talking about earlier this morning, right? With spring coming and new growth coming. I read the verse again from Romans 8. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. In this world, you will have trouble, John 16 says, but take heart, I have overcome this world. In our passage in John, or Proverbs chapter 13, hope deferred makes our hearts sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So what do we do when our hope gets deferred? Well, we probably get heart sick. We should be in prayer. We should be listening for God's voice. We need to accept the reality and find the good in it. And we need to try to find ways to use it for God's glory. If you can preserve, push through, and do these things, the second half of our proverb today, because you can believe that somewhere along your path, God will do something outrageously good for you. I believe that wholeheartedly as well. God loves you and he wants to bless you. He wants you to experience joy, and he knows that you need hope in life. The second part of our verse states, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So what do you do when your longing is fulfilled? When your dream comes true? The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years. They had disobeyed God and lost their chance to enter the promised land. Their dream was dead. Then one day God said to Joshua, he said, let's resurrect that dream, right? Line the people up tomorrow and we'll cross the River Jordan. So they do that, and it takes place. And then at the very end of this passage, if you were to look it up in Joshua chapter 4, in verse 8, I guess it is. Verse 7 says, tell them that the flow of the Jordan. I'm going to back up one more verse. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder. So these are the instructions that they're being told. Each of you is to take up a stone on your shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. So that's what I want us to get out of that, is they were to take a stone and they were to use that stone as a reminder to tell the good news of what Jesus did in their lives. So when your longings are fulfilled, when that tree of life is blooming in us because we're seeing our longings fulfilled in life, we need to make sure that people hear our story. The Israelites stacked up some stones so that whenever somebody saw them, they say, what are the stones about? And they'd reply, that's about a God that showed up. That's about my God that did amazing things. Let me tell you the story. So think for a minute. How many of you have a story of when God showed up and fulfilled a longing in your life, a longing in your heart? Just like I guessed earlier that there's many people in here that have that flesh and the thorn, I'm also going to guess that there's many of us in here that have those moments where God showed up and fulfilled a longing in my heart or your heart. Some of you, you might be sitting next to that longing in your heart. Some of you live in it. Some of you are raising those longings of your heart. Some of you, your jobs are those longings in your heart, and you're reporting there on a daily basis. I want to encourage you all to proclaim God's goodness every chance that you get. And if you can use a personal story to do that, I think that's the best thing that you can do, because people might be able to argue the Bible with us, but it's pretty hard to argue somebody's experience. Remember that when your hope is deferred and your heart is sick and you don't know what to do, remember that God is faithful. God is faithful. What's the stone in your life that reminds you of God's faithfulness? So as we wrap this up this morning, I want to just encourage us two things. First one is to work through the steps of disappointment that we talked about in the first part of the message. Work through those steps. When you get heartsick, pray. Listen for God's voice. Accept the reality. But go beyond that and try to find the good that's in it. And use your hardship for God's glory somehow, some way. But work through those steps of disappointment. And then secondly, create your own rock of remembrance. Create your own rock of remembrance. Remember one specific instance in your life where you saw God. There's no question about it. It had to be a God thing. Create some sort of reminder so that when you wake up every day that it can go before you and it can remind you that we serve a God that is faithful, that is good. And he is good to you. He's good to me. And he cares about our futures. So even when it feels like we may not be achieving or going where we want to end up being at, we have these reminders of God's faithfulness. And we have this book called the Bible that gives us all kinds of illustrations of people that waited years and years and years and years before they saw God answer their prayers and for them to end up where they thought that they should be. We need to remember these things because life is a journey and it's hard and at times it can be really discouraging. But God doesn't want us to get hung up on that. I'm convinced of it. We serve a good God that has a great plan and future for each of your lives. I think that as we conclude our time, I would just encourage you, if you have not been able to track with us through the series, to go to the website and pull up whichever ones you've missed, because I think that all these really pertain to us as human beings. There's so much in Proverbs for us to learn from, but we are all on a path of some sort. We're all headed in some sort of direction in life. And we can just let that go and see what happens and just let luck take its course and see where we end up, or we can be really intentional about our lives. We're really intentional about the paths that we go on, the direction that we head in. I think that there's great wisdom in this book of Proverbs that we've been looking at that really help us in this idea of being intentional about where we end up at in life. Let's pray together. Father God, at the end of the day, we all want to end up in the presence of our glorious God. That destination, as believers in Christ, we all have and we all know. But on this earth, there will be many different destinations that we sense you leading us in. There will be many directions that we sense you guiding us to head in. Help us, Heavenly Father, to always seek you, to seek your wisdom and your discernment. Help us to use the tools that you have given to us in order to do that. Help us to be willing to make corrections in the directions that we're going. Help us to trust our hearts with you so that we know that when we make decisions, it's based off of your word and your desires, not just the desires of our human hearts. Help us, Lord God, to use the people you bring into our lives, wise people that have gone before us, that have different experiences than us, and to seek counsel from them in life. And help us, Lord God, to give our attention to things that will lead us in the direction of where we sense you leading us. Pray these things in your holy name. Amen.